Good Wednesday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by the Embassy of the United Arab Emirates.
And I'm Jake Sherman. Before we get to the political earthquake in Alabama, the AP has breaking news out of Istanbul. Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas says Palestinians will not accept any role for the U.S. in the Middle East peace process from now on. That is bad news for Jared Kushner, who has spent months trying to forge a peace deal. Back stateside, the banner headline in the Montgomery Advertiser is Senator Jones D., noting that Doug Jones, the Democrat, won Alabama's open Senate seat. Gabe DeBenedetti and Alex Eisenstadt in Birmingham break it down like this. A Democrat has been elected to the Senate from Alabama for the first time in a quarter century, and the political earthquake has just begun.
Here's what Doug Jones's victory means. Welcome to the flimsy majority. Governing in Washington has now become a coin flip. Republicans have a 51-49 majority, and it isn't much of a majority at all. This doesn't have much of an impact at the moment because Luther Strange will remain in the Senate until the end of the year. Tax reform is likely safe as the Senate plans a Monday vote and a House vote on Tuesday. But anything else the president wants to do legislatively is going to face stiff headwinds. Trump can only lose one vote on anything, and he successfully beat up on key members like Senators John McCain of Arizona and Jeff Flake of Arizona and Bob Corker of Tennessee, so his margin for error is completely non-existent. Probably dead on arrival? Any sort of overhaul of entitlements. A better bet? An infrastructure package. This also means House Republicans are going to be further squeezed. Speaker Paul Ryan's majority is already perpetually frustrated by a Senate that can't move its bills. Hey guys, it's only going to get worse now.
Tests abound. Can the president figure out how to navigate this new political reality? Will Chuck Schumer be able to keep Doug Jones in the fold? He's been sneakily successful at keeping Democrats unified on legislative items like health care and tax reform. Now he has a senator who will periodically find it in his interest to side with Republicans. Keep your eyes on immigration. In a state like Alabama, immigration could be a touchy issue for a statewide candidate, to say the least. And there are fresh questions about Steve Bannon. Get used to hearing this. Candidates matter. That's what Mitch McConnell's world will be saying plenty over the next few days. Remember, Bannon World was trying to tell reporters that if he had campaigned for Ed Gillespie in Virginia, he could have won. Gillespie lost by 9 points. Bannon was essentially all in for Moore. He campaigned for him late in the race, and Jones nearly cracked the 50% mark.
And of course, there are the midterms. Democrats were already energized after the Virginia and New Jersey elections. Watch for the party to seize on this victory, to pull in a pile of campaign cash for the midterm elections, and re-up with top-tier candidate recruits. Republicans are increasingly nervous about their prospects next year, with President Trump as the leader of their party and with little to show voters. House Republicans have been telling us for weeks that they feel a potential wave as they stare 2018 in the eye. And there is definitely the collective fume moment going on today. Senate Republicans were scheduled to meet today to discuss whether they would allow Roy Moore into the conference. They don't have to do that anymore.
Here's what Gabe and Alex report are the five takeaways from Alabama. There was Bannon's bruising. The former White House chief strategist Steve Bannon went all in for Moore and then some. What black voter problem? There was lots of talk about Democratic black voters having a turnout problem in Alabama. It was a blockbuster night in that regard. Trump is losing capital. The president put his political capital on the line and lost. There was also the revenge of the soccer mom. The other primary reason for Jones' win was strong antipathy toward Moore among white, suburban, college-educated conservatives. And Democrats to Trump? Watch out. Alabama's historic turnout on Tuesday mirrored enormous numbers for Democratic voters in both Virginia and New Jersey's gubernatorial races, even after muddy campaigns in all three states. And party operatives are now lunging to capitalize on that energy ahead of the 2018 midterms.
Stephen Shepard broke down the exit polls, finding that blacks made up about 29% of the electorate on Tuesday and voted for Doug Jones almost unanimously, 96% to 4%. Jones also made some inroads among white voters, particularly women and those with college degrees. And Eliana Johnson writes that Trump suffered a big black eye in Alabama, given he went all in for Moore, and it was a state he carried by 28 points last year. Trump tweeted at 11:08 p.m., "Congratulations to Doug Jones on a hard-fought victory. The write-in votes played a very big factor, but a win is a win. The people of Alabama are great, and the Republicans will have another shot at this seat in a very short period of time. it never ends.
More drama expected in the Capitol today. House Republicans are meeting at 3 p.m. to discuss end-of-the-year legislating. Paul Ryan has a messy situation on his hands. Government funding expires in 9 days. The leadership faces resistance from appropriators who don't like the short-term funding of government, especially after they spent months trying to pass the 12 spending bills. Conservatives don't like the uptick in government spending. And Texans are angry because the billions they want in disaster spending might be pared back in size and pushed back to January. The concern? The leadership has been talking about passing a full year of defense funding, paired with a short-term funding measure that funds government through sometime in January, a move aimed at forcing the Senate to swallow it. It's not a sustainable position, because McConnell does not think he could pass this. So Republicans could be forced to pass a short-term spending measure and revisit the fight in January.
Consider this. Republicans might have to swallow an immigration deal they don't like. Congress might boost spending to new levels. They might bolster Obamacare. And they're funding government on a two-week basis. Here's the truth bomb. They did better with Barack Obama in the White House. Our colleague Josh Gernstein reports that in texts, FBI agents on the Russia probe called Trump an idiot. Special Counsel Robert Mueller removed one of the agents, Peter Storzok, and another, Lisa Page, had already ended her assignment with Mueller's office. Darren Samuelson has a story on Trump's lawyer, Ty Cobb, saying that Mueller has finished the interviews he has requested with White House staff. It's unclear if there will be follow-up interviews.
On taxes, our colleague Brian Fahler has a piece up about the many New Year surprises in the tax bill, including some sudden changes just days after the bill is signed into law. And the Washington Post is reporting that Republican negotiators are close to a deal to reduce the top tax rate for high-income households from 39.6% to 37%. So at the end of the day, Republicans are handing Democrats a talking point. They did lower taxes for rich people. Trump is having lunch with tax conferees from both parties. He'll deliver his closing argument on tax reform in the grand foyer at the White House at 3 p.m. Trump will be joined by 5 middle-income families and talk about how the tax bill will help each one individually, according to a senior administration official. He'll also be flanked by more than 100 people, many of them young, to try to press the point that the tax bill will have a lasting impact for the next generation. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.